Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we are talking about something unexpected.
Yeah, a big mystery.
I guess it's a mystery today. We had a caller who is a regular caller, actually, on the show, but she dropped. Maybe she had to take a call. I don't know if she was just listening or if she wanted a reading because she did not press one. But now we are without anyone in the queue, Neil. But for those of you who are listening to our show and the people that aren't in our queue, we would love it if you followed us on Facebook and on Twitter. The call-in number, 914-338-0164, and you can find those accounts linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. So do try to reach out to us on social media. We appreciate it when you do. And that's it. Press one. Yes. Did I say press one? 914-338-0164. Do press one if you'd like to speak with us, callers. Okay.
Well, you know, there's a strange phenomenon that goes on, especially during sleep, when one sees oneself in a dream.
You mean... Okay, we don't know where we left off or where we last heard, but Blog Talk Radio apparently is having some problems, so we were knocked off, but are back with you now. But Neil, you were talking about seeing
yourself in a dream.
Right.
So it's very different. I mean, how can you be in one place and see yourself in another? Now, you might just say it's mental or it's your dream state, but in all actuality, when you have an astral dream, you're actually encountering your body, your own body in the astral realm, like a doppelganger. It's
doppelganger. I think it's doppelganger.
Doppelganger.
Ganger. Ganger.
It's a ghost-like replica of yourself, a double, if you will, and you're actually seeing not just a mental formation, a mental picture of yourself in action. There is a way to have a dream where you're actually encountering yourself in the dream.
Well, obviously, sometimes in a dream, you will be within your body, so watching, like you would be operating a normal life. So you don't see yourself, but there are times where you're actually seeing yourself as if you're watching yourself in a movie. So there's a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference.
And sometimes, I might add, you might see yourself and it's you, but you look completely different. That actually happened a couple nights ago in a dream of mine where it was me, but it was not this body.
Yeah, but there is a running reel or EEL that is constantly playing in the astral realm that we don't necessarily always attach to, where our alternative selves, our past life selves, our astral body, if you will, is going through particular scenarios. It's almost like saying the past is still alive. If you go into the past, it is alive, and it has happened.
Well, then you start to talk about the continuum of time, or where time is a loop rather than linear, so everything is occurring simultaneously.
But here, when we leave a past life that is unresolved and unfinished, in some respects, that past life may be frozen. It stops. There's nothing happening. It's just frozen in time. Oftentimes, though, it's still running through in the astral realm. It takes a different stage, and you don't see it on the immediate stage. It's like a committee going into their quarters to discuss an issue, and everybody else left standing in the assembly hall or the courtroom. The same thing happens oftentimes in a past life scenario in the astral realm, where events are still being played out as you, the person alive today, is living their contemporary life, their current life. Sometimes this intercepts and you get deja vu. Sometimes it intercepts and weird things happen. I mean, so bizarre in your life that you can't explain it. It's just weird. The two worlds sometimes merge and reappear in a single setting, which would be the contemporary setting. Other ways, the two worlds merge and reappear in the dream world. So you're actually in your contemporary space, maybe perhaps in bed, sleeping, but your astral body is in an entirely different location. And this just isn't a psychological dream. It's a very real place where you're going to witness and experience an energy field of a lifetime that is in progress, still being worked out.
So in that case, people can go into that dream state and perhaps resolve past life karma from the lifetimes that they're going back to. I mean, at least work out on the astral plane somewhat.
Sometimes we go back to work it out, and then sometimes we go back to just see what's been going on. Because in the dimensions beyond our physical dimension, events are still running. They're still pertinent and they're still running. And oftentimes what happens is, like a computer, they get filed into cyberspace. In other words, the material and the information and the action is still there, and it's alive in cyberspace. So it's going on there. It's not accessible to the physical realm. We can't manifest it in any way, but it is out there. A life lived can still be running in the astral realm and being played out. It sounds weird, but you're not dealing with physicality here. Even the participants are not going to be in physical form. They may appear in physical form to the dreamer or to the person witnessing it, but it's actually not in organic form, in physical form. It's in energy form. And that is being translated, that energy, like in a television, it's being translated into a formation that appears to be positively human, flesh and blood. So how does that happen? I mean, it happens in dreams, specialized dreams, not just any old dream, but specialized dreams, where you actually leave the body, enter an astral realm, and then find yourself in a past life situation that is actively on file, actively going on. In other ways, it can happen in the present realm in your waking hour, and that's when strange, bizarre things start to happen, and you're sort of in two worlds at the same time. That's kind of hard to explain. Like I said, it can sometimes seem like deja vu, where you have this weird, weird feeling. Usually people who have deja vu experience a weird sensation before. They're slipping into, their consciousness is slipping into a past life or into the other universe, the other side of the universe. And that occurs. When a person explains, I had the most bizarre day, coincidences were happening, I didn't feel like I was in my body, I was meeting people that I hadn't seen. I mean, it was like I was living a dream. I was awake, but it was one of those bizarre, weird days. And I just don't mean a weird day in terms of just weird things happening. You go to the bank and you bump into somebody, and then you go to the store and you bump into somebody. And I don't mean that. This element of being conscious and experience something has to equate itself to like a feeling of deja vu. There's got to be something very weird going on about it that lifts it above what would otherwise be deemed as just extraordinary events in the conscious state. So you have to have a very particular sense of accuracy in terms of determining if you are in the conscious state, actually sharing an alternate universe.
Well, the thing about deja vu is that deja vu can be connected to, I mean, obviously past life experiences, but I've had deja vu where I'm just linking to something that's happened in my linear lifetime. So it's deja vu is not always linked to a past life. I think it's important to say that.
No, it isn't. Deja vu is not always linked to a past life. But I'm saying that in this
No,
case,
I know you're not saying
we're
that, but I'm making
specializing it as one of the criteria.
I understand. I'm just making
You know, there was
point.
A word, there was a movie, regardless of what your thoughts are about the filmmaker, but there's a movie that Woody Allen did called Midnight in Paris, I believe it's called. And in that movie, a couple vacation in Paris, and at the strike of midnight or something like that, the male counterpart of the couple experiences a stagecoach or something coming up to a square. It's at nighttime, and in the carriage is like George Sand and Cezanne and people from the past. And he gets into the carriage, and lo and behold, he's pulled back into another lifetime with Hemingway and that whole group. Now, as a filmmaker, trying to be creative about time sequences and differences in time and intercepting one space of time to another and living it, that's a crude example of what might be described as being in a conscious state and experiencing a different realm. Some people, what's another example? People who believe they have been abducted by a UFO and transported into a spaceship and that kind of thing. That would be another wild example that might approach this idea. People who were considered dead on the operating table, and they think they went over to heaven or some celestial realm and saw people or saw a light or saw a guide or saw loved ones, and then were told to return. Now, to the doctors on the operating table, the body didn't go anywhere, but yet the person was in two spaces at one time.
Well, can I go back to your example of Woody Allen movie? What I think is interesting is that these people, like playwrights, creative geniuses, so to speak, who aren't really attached to any spiritual beliefs, because I don't think Woody Allen is. I mean, he was raised Jewish, but I don't think he's, I don't know exactly about his beliefs spiritually, or if he's agnostic, I don't know. Do you know?
Probably
agnostic, I would think.
Existentially,
but the fact that, you know, in his creative mind is going to pass the idea of past lives and putting that into his films, I think is very interesting, because somewhere in his brain is embedded that awareness that's
it's
a reality. So, but I mean, it's coming out in his creative work. So I find that very interesting. When, you know, on a conscious level, he probably wouldn't believe.
He may not, but I mean, he may be an existentialist sort of theorist that believes that you can skip through time and have different energies.
I mean,
things like that.
Well, yes, it says he's an agnostic now that I look. Agnostic.
So you don't have to believe in, this is not a religion. See, now we get back to the idea of spiritualism and religion. You don't have to be religious to believe in this. There are pure scientists who believe, you could probably skip through time and experience other time zones. And
right, and obviously in our form of thinking, we're attaching past lives to a spiritual theories about spirituality, whereas there can be, you know, the belief that there are past lives or you can skip through time, and there's no attachment to any.
Well, there isn't. I mean, we know by pure scientific fact that time changes according to location. So so even millions of miles beyond the planet, the time change factor is different, and time is quicker on the Earth. In space, it's going to be slowed down, and so a person returns, it looks like they're a week old, and actually there is a slight, very slight difference.
Right, so that's the scientific definition, but, you know, according to our beliefs, the reason there are past lives is because of the idea of karma, and that there are other realms that one can ascend to, and the Earth is, you know, a school, so to speak.
And whatever composes the soul, you don't have to believe in God, you don't have to believe in religion, you don't even have to believe in spirituality. You can just say there is a soul, and that soul, that energy form, will leave the body and become some form of consciousness beyond life, beyond physical life. And that consciousness will be carried into the spheres or whatever. There's no mention of God. It's just sort of an existential idea that there is something beyond. It's all elaborately fanciful and entertaining in the long run. It may be supported by a few slippery facts or figures or whatever. But still, this idea that we can be in two places at the same time. Like I said, on a crude level, is first introduced into the element of dream. And most of us have had dreams where we have said, I really felt I was there. It was so strange. And when I woke up, I really felt like I had traveled somewhere. I had been somewhere
but
else.
But I have to interject. That can you can have those experiences in a psychological dream, too. So, feeling like you're really there can occur, and it's, you're not traveling anywhere.
Psychological dreams can comprise all of these things.
Yeah.
But I'm talking specifically about when the liftoff really takes
really
place.
Really takes place.
And there is a sheer difference between having just a psychological mental dream and actually being out of the body. Some people have experienced a pure sensation of floating and flying. I mean, it's very difficult to be in a conscious state and feel like you're flying, replicating what you felt in your dream. In a dream world, if you're flying, it really feels like that. But wake up and try to re-experience that, you can't do it. So what is this medium between wakefulness and sleep, wherein a change occurs in the sensational experience or sensory experience of the person?
But it could be sensational.
I meant the word sensational because there is a marked difference that one has in a dream. It takes on a whole different element. You know, movie makers will, you know, when you're going to have a dream in the old movies, they made the screen look real cloudy. There has to be a transition. You know, they make the screen look real cloudy and they play this weird music. And everybody watching the movie knows, oh, they're entering the dream world. Well, what is that? Because you're transforming the physical body into a vehicle through which it can transcend time and space. It moves beyond time and space. And to enter the realm that may replicate the earth, but the rules and the feelings and the physics of the dimension are all entirely different than one I might experience in the real world. And it would be hard to find someone who can duplicate that in a waking state. The dream world provides us with a ride that we can't seem to capture in a waking state. Some of us might be able to. You know, some people are highly meditative and they can leave their body and astral project and things like that. But most of us would say, no, in a waking state, there is a difference. My body goes through a big change. When I'm having a dream and I feel like I'm in another world and I'm moving through that world, and then I wake up, I feel like the two worlds are separate. And I may go through life that day thinking about that dream because it's haunting. But do I feel like I'm living it right now? No. It's an entirely different experience than what the person is having in a wakeful state. So what is that? Is it the mind is able to produce these chemicals and we go into a state that's semi-conscious and we're able to do things like hypnotically, we're able to do things that we couldn't do in a waking state? But then there's other factors to consider because there's a plot line and there seems to be in a dream, sometimes there's a theme. You know, Freudians might say, well, you're trying to work something out, or, you know, you've got some kind of, your brain is trying to work out something that's in your life. Well, maybe that's true, and the brain can produce a movie, like a movie. It can produce a movie, and you can see a visual. But when we go to a movie, we're watching something and experiencing it. And we may be jolted by a scare, or we may be emotionally crying because the scene was sad, but it's very hard to place ourselves into that movie. You know, Woody Allen did another movie, something about Cairo, the Rose of Cairo or something, where the characters on the movie screen, the Purple Rose of Cairo, they stepped out of the screen and entered the world, the physical world. And then vice versa, the physical world stepped into the screen and entered the screen world. Well, that's the division between movies and reality. But in the concept of this experience that we have in dreams, that beyond just like watching the movie, we are actually in the movie and we feel it and we can experience it. So what explains that? How do we reach that sensation? You can't even do it on an animated ride, because on a ride, you're just passively experiencing what you're looking at. You're not really there. You're reacting to what you're seeing. But what happens in the dream world when you're actually out of your body and in the vision that you're seeing? Explain that one.
Me? No,
well,
you explain it.
Well, you're looking at me like you're waiting to inform me of something. So I'm waiting.
I'm not waiting to inform you of anything. Well, but I mean, obviously, well, I don't know, Neil.
Well, that's okay.
It depends on, you know, what one believes about the soul and the body releasing astral body to the astral realm, and whether it...
I mean, you don't even need to use the word soul or religion or spirit. How do you explain the fact that when one is having a dream, they feel like they're in the dream? They're actually in the dream, and they're participating in the dream. And it's very different from anything you can achieve on a conscious state.
A lot of people would attribute to the way the brain, like scientists, the brain activity in a sleeping state.
That would be the explanation.
But it
doesn't quite explain viably. It doesn't quite explain the pure experience. Because if the brain can produce that according to, you know, the rapid eye movement and the brain waves and what happens when we go into
But we're talking about the astral body being released and there being other planes of existence besides, you know, the physical realm, then that is the more esoteric explanation.
But you see, that's the very doorway, because for most of us who aren't trained, the only way for the astral body to be released is to put ourselves into a different state of consciousness. We're still conscious, but we're in a different state. You know, I call it this, I mean, it's sort of a oxymoron, because you're saying sleeplessness, sleep. Oh, he's asleep, but he isn't really asleep. In other words, His mind, the mind of the person, is more active actually than in a waking state. So how do we explain the state of sleeplessness when our minds are more actively acute and doing things that we can't do in a state of consciousness, and yet we appear as though we are in the state of sleep? Now, if the brain is able to activate this energy in the state of sleeplessness, and it just doesn't shut down, then that means that there's something that is triggered as one alters their state of consciousness into a different form, into a different medium. And if that is the case, then, of course, this corridor into the astral realm might be examined in the process of sleep itself.
Well, we'll have to stay tuned for the next portion of this conversation, because we've got a caller. So, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, fine, thanks.
Yeah, it's me, Lucy.
Lucy, I thought so. Hi.
How are you?
Good, Lucy. How are you?
Good. Yes. Yes. Beta.
Good. Okay. You're 26/8, I think. But give us your birthday.
16,
your
16. 1-2-1-6-6-2.
Okay. I believe that's right. So what's going on?
26/8. Lots of changes.
Lots of changes?
Yeah. Yes. The work is the same. I am the same, but then like my daughter got married all of a sudden.
Oh, your daughter got married, and wasn't that to a guy who you were unsure of because there were some fights or something with him?
With the same one, yeah.
Yeah, so what? How did that resolve?
I'm fine. It's like I just got over.
I just got over.
Nothing like resolved. No, I just accepted what it is.
You just moved past
move on.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have to live with him so far, yeah. And it's like, I'm going to just, don't tell anybody, don't start making a big deal about it, and then the less that I talk, the less resistance that I create between anybody that loves me against him. And then I say, I'm just going to live it like that. Because time and universe will take care of him.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's better to release it than to be, plagued by this, a situation that you don't, that you're not happy with. So accepting it always is easier if you're able to do that. And it sounds like maybe the drama has lessened. Have there been any more instances where there's been conflict since?
Not really, because the only thing that I do is helping them the most that I can. That's it. Then I don't think that for my side, if he wants to say something, it's his choice, because I know for a fact that whoever tried to do bad to me, it reverses to them, and then if I just go forward and do my best to ignore what I think, it is not nice.
So today, that's great, Lucy, that you're it's a little bit better, and congratulations on your daughter getting married. What's your question today?
Well, I would like to know what you guys see in my near past, what changes are coming to me, guiding me in improvements. I got a new boss at work. It's the first. The one before was micromanagement. In micromanagement, I think this one is even super micromanagement. Everybody, then I would like to know about what changes you see in my near future.
Well, you're right now. You are going through a change, right? No, is she? No, she's not. Is she on a multiple?
Yeah, she's
56. You're on a multiple. Sorry, I was thinking it was the doubling of her karma, which it's not. That was 52. But you are, in fact, on a multiple, which extends until October. So it's no surprise that there are a lot of changes happening. How is this new boss? Do you like him? Or are you unsure?
I don't know. I just neutral for now.
Sure.
But I wish I just, yeah. That's my motto, to be just. I don't put any taste or any feeling to anything. I just go for it and leave it. Like, I just there.
Well,
so far I feel then. Yes?
Lucy, you have a nice reflection in your birthday. The 1-1-6 adds up to 26, if you will. And then that is reflected later in your 62. The numbers are now opposite each other. So 101, that 101, that's a 2, along with the 6, that's 26. And then it moves over to year, which is 62. And when we add up all your numbers, it adds up to 26. So in other words, you have three forms of 26. One is 101, which is a 2 and then the 6 in the day. Then you have it as 62. And then when you add up all your numbers, you have 26. Now, that's a good, probably a good thing. The older you get, the higher energy is going to be occurring because it's kind of being put together. I mean, you're not born in 26, you're born in 62, so it is a reflection of your karma. But what that 6 means, and that's probably why you call shows like this one, that's the third eye. So your talent or whatever it may be in seeing the future and actualizing it is really strong right now. You're in a place where you can envision things and have it happen. There is a small area, I don't know if it's a storage or it's another house or you're thinking about buying property, but there's something regarding property other than the property you're living in.
Doesn't she? Do you own another property, Lucy?
Yes, I own my home and another property.
Yeah, she.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't remember.
I remember. That was memory of mine.
I'm thinking to sell the home. My son is getting engaged and married soon.
Your son that was in California?
Yet. Yeah, he moved to New York City.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's engaged. You must be happy about that.
Neutral. Yeah, in a way, yes.
Well, I know
my
he was single
neutral
for a long time. So,
yeah.
You have you met the fiance?
Yeah, her fiance is from another country. Then he has to get engaged in her country and then coming back with her, and they're going to get married here.
Oh, where is she from?
She's from Kazakhstan. Kazakh?
Oh.
She's Kazakh.
Which is in, like, what, the Soviet Union?
Kazakh. You know what is Kazakhstan?
Isn't that Pakistan, did you say?
No. She said Kazakhstan. Kazakh?
Kazakhstan.
It was part of Russia, but
Russia.
Now they are. Yeah, but it's not Russia. It was part. It's like. It's that part. It's over there somewhere. But it's Kazakhstan.
Yeah, if you're thinking of selling that property because your son may be moving.
I'm thinking to sell this property and get a decent down payment to buy a property somewhere else.
You asked about the future. What do we see? That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing you selling this and putting a down payment on something else. That's the vibration. Now, I could just be picking up on your thought forms, but it could also be prophetic. It could be a suggestion that that's what you should do. For sure, I'm picking up on the thought form because you're validating it. But whether you should do it or not, my gut feeling is you should. I mean, is this in California?
No, she lives in
New York. New York City.
You're in New York, right? Upstate New York?
New York, yeah, and in New York, upstate New York, but they want to live in New York City.
Well, why do you want to sell it? What's your reasoning behind selling it?
Because that way we can have a decent down payment for the property in New York City, because New York City properties are very expensive.
So you're doing a down payment for them?
Kind of.
So you're paying. Is that what's happening? You're wanting to help them? Are you wanting to help them with their down payment?
It's like we will buy the like, if I'm going to do this, I will tell him, okay, we buy the property between you and me. We go from there, you know. I won't give it to them, like, straightforward, because if they get divorced or something, then he will lose, or we will lose everything, like, we will lose, because they're just going to get married.
Well, you better talk to a lawyer, because it can become
right.
Community property.
Exactly.
It can become community property,
well,
so you may have an arrangement with your son.
I don't know if it's I don't know if things become community property if you're not married necessarily, and what the laws are in New York are going to be different than they are in California,
but
so you need to check
okay,
that out.
I also was thinking, if I sell this property, I just going to leave all the money, that's going to be it, like... For now, I'm interested in buying another property, really, for myself.
Well, I mean, can you do both? I mean, can you help with a down payment and buy yourself a new property? No. Unless you sold yours, because you have two, right?
Well, if you sell this property that we're talking about, and
mm-hmm.
you buy another property, and you let your son move in there and pay you your mortgage, and with the option to maybe he'll inherit it after your death. That's an idea.
That's an idea, yeah?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You can do it. I mean, that's just an idea, but that, huh?
What did you just say?
That she sells this other property for whatever reasons, I don't know, but she sells it. She buys another property. It's in her name. She lets her son live in that property with his wife, but she owns it. He pays the mortgage living there, and then upon her death, he can inherit the property.
But the only thing is, Lucy, with the property, because they want to live in New York City, is he contributing to the down payment? Would he be contributing to the down payment?
No. Not at all? Nothing really
no.
So then you can do that, and that's feasible.
Don't put it in his name. Put it in your name, let him live there, paying the mortgage, and he has a place to live. And then upon your death, he can inherit the property.
He essentially is like a tenant. He would be a tenant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like
it
sounds like you said you're neutral. So about the marriage, if you put his name on the property, the future wife's name on the property, and your name on the property, you're asking for problems. If there's
I won't put her, because they just married. They just gonna get married soon.
Right, but him too. I mean, you could have problems down the road if he's on title, and there's a falling out. If they want your help, I would definitely.
No, they never. He doesn't want my help, because he said my daughter is very jealous about it, and she will be very mad.
That's
the problem.
His other siblings would be jealous that you would do this, you mean?
Yes, because my daughter said that I prefer him.
Oh.
What?
That she's favors.
You're buying the property, and it's in your name. He's moving in and paying the mortgage, and there's no promise for anybody that when you die, they could split the proceeds. You're not doing anything. That's
right,
ridiculous.
You can will it.
So
to both
your
of
daughter
them.
Have that kind of control. If you want to, does your daughter live in a home?
No, she lives in a rented apartment too. And
she feels that you're doing this for your son, but she probably doesn't.
Nobody knows why. This is just my idea now. I didn't do anything. I didn't put my. Another thing is this, if I put this house on the market, is it feasible that I'm going to get something reasonable? That's another thing, because there are a lot of houses over here in this road that are not selling. But then I don't know, because my house is special and well maintained, it will sell for the money that I'm supposed to get. That's another.
How much equity do you have? How much equity do you have in your home?
Well, supposedly when they in 2005 used to cost 400,000. Now the houses over here, even though a lady down the street is putting her beautiful house for 286, another one for 384. Now she put it down 335.
That's the selling price. How much equity? If you sell your home, what? How much do you owe on your home right now?
Oh, just like 80,000.
And
so
what
you
is
have
your home worth? 400?
You know, I invested a lot of money because I changed the siding, the roof, everything else. I had a new driveway.
Oh.
And supposedly the houses like this one goes for 300,000 now.
Well, you might.
So how much profit would you expect if you sold?
How much profit?
Yeah.
How much I expect if I sold it?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I think 300,000, but I don't think that people are willing to. Yeah, I don't think that
and
people
then,
are willing to pay me that money.
So 300,000, and then you would invest that in an apartment in New York as a down payment for your
son. Yes. Mm-hmm. I will like 200,000 because an apartment is a decent apartment in New York City will cost you around $400,000-$500,000.
Yeah,
and then you have to pay.
But then that money.
That house is $1 million.
The money that you're investing, I mean, I'm not saying don't help your son, but I'm just talking, you know, working this out loud. The money that you're investing is going to be basically sitting there not making any interest, I mean, except for the fact that the property is going to increase in value. But as far as you being able to benefit from that money, really, it's going to be your heir's benefit, not to yours, because you're doing them a favor. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she can't, it's not like she's parking that in a fund where she can make interest and reinvest the dividends and so on and so forth. So it's essentially a favor and you're not getting any direct benefit from that money.
Yeah, but then do you see if I put this house on sale, will sell for at least 300?
I mean, I think so.
That's why it came in.
Yeah, that's why it came in. So I think it will sell. I mean, it might take a little time, but do I think it will sell? Yes. And after you pay off all the bills and all the mortgage and everything you need to pay off, I'm hearing you said you will have left 300,000, according to the
market. I will have like if I lucky to sell it because the house is supposed to be a price 386. Then if I'm going to sell it, I don't think that they will give me more than 300,000 and I have to pay the things that I own in this house.
Yeah,
then I will be walking with 200,000. That is a decent down payment to live somewhere else.
Your profit really isn't going to be three.
No,
it's
like
going to be two.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So with 200,000, you can, you know, if that's what you want to do in this, in terms of not keeping the property you're in, and you want to maybe downsize and buy something outright, you can do that. I don't know. It seems to be that you still want some money left over if you put a down payment on something, and then have the tenant pay the mortgage, and all the bills. Well, you know. I mean, if that's what you want to do, yeah. And like Kristen said, if you're doing it for your son and ultimately, but he may not live there. He, you know, who knows what will happen after your death. But what you're doing is it's still in your name and you can still do what you want with it. If you have a complication with your daughter because she's mad now that you're doing this for him, well, you're going to have to make up your mind. You have two kids and you're going to have to deal with some attitude of favoritism for one over the other. I don't know, you know?
Another thing is like, if I sell this house, I don't like, I have two choices, sell the house and get the money. I don't know how the job is going to go, this job that I have now. But what do you say about this job that I have now? Because they're changing a lot.
Well, how long have you been at this job?
20 years.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, that's a long time to have a job.
Well, it's been 20 years since her karma.
Yeah.
How old is she?
56. No. Yeah, 20. No, it hasn't been 20 years since her karma. It's been 30 years since her karma. When do you plan to retire?
Well, every time that I say, I would like to start working, then you guys tell me, no, it's not time yet. Can you hold 4 years or 5 years? Because the problem is the insurance. Yeah, once you quit your job, you got to find a place where they're going to give you insurance or pay you on insurance or do
but
something
about
it.
But don't you
have
a pension for a 20-year job? I mean, isn't there like...
No, we don't have pensions. We don't we have 401k.
You have 401k, so you wouldn't have to keep your insurance through COBRA, which is very expensive, and you would have to wait to get onto Medicare, but that wouldn't happen until you're, I don't know how old. When can you start Medicare? 65. Yeah.
62.
62? Is it 62?
I think.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then it's very confusing because every time that I say, I would like to just quit my job and start traveling and start doing like what I would like to do, traveling. Then I say, no, because you need your insurance.
I don't know. You're throwing a lot of things at us. I wouldn't quit my job.
65.
Yeah. I wouldn't quit my job, Lucy. You have security there right now. I don't see it folding right now. There might be a lot of changes going on. What is this specific job? Where do you work?
I work for an insurance, a medical coverage company, the insurance.
Well,
medical insurance.
Why was there reports that they're going to fold
No.
Oh.
They didn't. The stock is down, but I don't think all the stocks like United Healthcare, WellPoint, all these stocks are down. But I don't think that they are letting off people. But I don't think
that
they're letting off.
I wouldn't worry about. Right now, just stay where you're at. And as far as if you really want to sell your property and turn it into a better scenario, go ahead. But if it's going to cause a conflict with your children and you don't want that conflict, don't sell the property yet. Is it paying for itself?
The one I live for? I just live here and I pay my taxes.
Well, what is the property doing? We only have like 1 minute, by the way. We're about to close.
Okay, I live is just my home.
Yes, but the second property, are you renting it out or is it just
live here. The one that I have here, the one that I'm talking about to sell, is just my home.
It's just vacant. You own it, but
my
vacant.
Home, I own it and I live on it.
Right, you live in your home, but the second property.
The second property is income. Yeah, income. Extra income.
So you do rent it?
I rent it, yes.
You do rent it. So
yes.
Then you're going to be losing money, right, if you sell it and give it a payment to your – that's going to – your income is going to go down.
The one that I'm talking about going to sell is my home where I live.
Oh.
Because – The taxes are very high, and then it's big for one person.
The home she wants, the one she wants to sell is the home she's in. She wants
the
to
home,
keep.
The home, yes.
But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Where I'm going to live? I can't live somewhere else. I can rent something smaller or move out to another city that I always dream about moving out of Middletown.
I see. I think didn't you think she was selling the second home?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were lost.
Well, we don't know. We can't solve it right now, Lucy. We can't solve it right now, but because the energy seems to be that we're picking up on this conflict and how it's going to be resolved, we haven't figured out yet.
Okay, then I won't do nothing about that. Yeah, because it's too upfront if I do that. I know.
Yeah.
And then
he's already. But we are picking up on the idea that there's a problem going on, and it has to do with selling something. We just haven't concluded what is the best move yet, and we're not going to give you suggestions until we get more clarity.
Okay. Yes, wonderful.
Okay,
yes.
Lucy. Well, thank
I'll
you for
call,
getting
I'll call another next time.
Yeah. Yeah, do that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, take care.
Thank you so much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Okay.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we will have a wonderful weekend. It's cooled off. That's always nice. We are back on the air next week on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. See you then.